Covered in Glory is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another and a final edition of Covered in Glory for this regular season of the Premier League, Brett. It is an extremely bittersweet time of year. My kids had their last day of school today, and they're in all of their feelings about that. I had my last youth soccer tournament over the weekend, and I'm in my own feelings about that. And of course, the Premier League wraps up this week. How are you feeling about everything? Saying goodbye.
Well, it's weird. I'm actually saying goodbye to a job and starting a new one. So it is the whole string of goodbyes. But I can't hide the disappointment. I was really hoping last week would have set us up for something that we could have really looked forward to this week. We basically just have one relegation battle, one relegation spot to look forward to. But on the balance, you know, I know for you, it was a painful year. And I want to say I'm here for you. This is a safe space. I'm sorry you had to go through that. But on the whole, I mean, we have a chance to see historic treble. We saw the Premier League goal scoring record broken. Like, there's a lot of really cool things that happened. So it's hard to say you're disappointed. Obviously, we would like to see more meaningful matches going into the weekend, but hard to say you're disappointed with some of the things we had to see during the year.
Yeah, well, when I was in law school, there was this absolute legend who was at a party, a really big party, and we were throwing it at the house that I was living at, a couple hundred people there. And we go into the kitchen, and there's a 1L, like she had just started school, and she had overserved herself and was sitting in our kitchen just drinking Papa John's garlic sauce things that she had ordered.
Oh my God.
And it was a scene. It was a mess. I mean, it was as bad as it gets. We're like, what the hell is this? We're like, what the hell is this? Like, we had just met her, and she looked us dead in the eye and goes, "If you didn't want me to ruin the party, you shouldn't have invited me." And that's what Chelsea did today. There was one shot, one last chance to save the final game of the season and have some other drama. But they invited Chelsea to play against Manchester United to be that savior, and they ruined our collective party.
I mean, Chelsea did the soccer equivalent of drinking garlic sauce all season long. So I guess we can't really fault them when they didn't come through for us today. So.
Well, before we jump into this week's action, I do have a new favorite penalty kick of all time, Brett. I know this is indulgent, but I've been doing this show all season, so just give me 60 seconds. Youth soccer tournament this weekend. Tournament final. My girl, Kate, she's been playing with this travel team for several years. We're moving. We're relocating back to the East Coast. Another goodbye, I'm saying, to Austin. And we're doing it in the next couple of weeks. So this is the last game she's ever going to play. Goes to penalties. It's 2-2 with one kick left. Kate Mergler steps up for the fifth and final penalty kick and goes full Drogba, her last kick for her club to win a cup. She goes lower left corner on the PK and buries
there
it.
There we go. That's how Merglers do.
So I know right that's,
That better be the video loop behind all this dialogue. That's what I want to see.
Well, it was the inspiration for our cover art, that penalty that Drogba took to win the Champions League. But now we got to draw Kate doing the same thing. So that was really awesome. Filled my heart up. And I wouldn't say that. It made all the travel worthwhile, but it certainly helped lower the bill a little bit.
What a cool way to end.
I don't know if we'll have any of the same moments this weekend, given how low the stakes are. So we are going to do something a little bit different on this week's episode. Instead of just doing the big six games, which we will still do out of obligation, but since there's basically no stakes in any of them, we are going to cover nine matches in all this week. The big six games, the two other games that affect relegation, and then a brief FA Cup final preview at the end, since we're going to be off next week. So let's start with the games that matter, Brett. We never do this. We never start with an Everton-Bournemouth matchup, but it is.
We want people to listen to the show. That's why we would never, ever start with this.
It is the final day of the year. So let's do relegation because it's the only thing left that matters. So we are going to start at Everton, 17th at 33 points versus Bournemouth, 15th at 39 points. Important reminder, every game starts at the same time on Sunday. So I'm not going to read it for each individual game. If you want to follow all of the action on the final game, you just need a two-week window for one of the wildest sporting events of the year. It starts at 11:30 Eastern on Sunday morning. In this matchup, Everton is minus 225. Bournemouth is plus 600. The draw is plus 340. I'm not even giving the adjusted spread because Everton's situation is a draw won't save them. It does give them a good chance on goal differential, but Leeds would have to make up three goals. You've been supporting the club. Yeah, I know. You're the world's worst Everton fan, but allegedly you're still an Everton fan. This is a club that has been in the top flight, what, every single year since the beginning of the FA, except for one, I believe, like right around World War II. And just like last year, it comes down to the final day, playing at home, trying to avoid relegation. So as an Everton fan, I'm going to let you go first. Do you think they go down, or do you think they have it in them one more time?
I think they are getting very lucky with the draw here. Being at Goodison, playing a Bournemouth team, as we've talked about, the teams that may go down are not necessarily the worst three teams in the league. Bournemouth and Forest take that. It's actually just kind of a bummer that teams that are as uninteresting as Bournemouth has been this year, besides Dango. I mean, you know, props to Dango. But unless you're like a huge Dominic Solanke guy, I don't think anybody's like super excited to see Bournemouth go up. So the fact that they're the worst, one of the worst teams in the league, they have nothing to play for. They're playing away to Everton, who have everything to play for. Like you talked about the history of just, it's been decades, you know, since they've ever gone down. It would be such a blight on this team. And it would be such a financially crippling thing for this team if they would go down. every bit of motivation is there. And they're playing one of the few teams that has worse players than an Everton side that's going to probably start Neil Maupay, Dwight McNeil, and Alex Iwobi in their attacking spots. So to me, I couldn't get to the point in this game where I was going to be like, they're going to cover the adjusted spread. The money line wasn't great. I don't see them being two goals better than any team in the league because it's still Everton and they're still hot garbage. So I took the Bournemouth at minus 160. I do think Everton has a pretty good window to win this. Again, it's so hard for me to fathom how you can lose to a terrible Bournemouth team that has nothing to play for. Wow, would that be embarrassing? My brain can't wrap my head around it as like a former competitor at all, how you could lose that. So I don't trust them to cover any adjusted spreads, but I think they're going to win.
Yeah. I'm taking them at minus 225 on the money line just because of the home crowd and the pride and the tradition and anything else. And as you said, the stakes are extraordinarily high here because they're not a team set up to be like a yo-yo club. They don't have a wage structure to support it. They don't have a back office that is used to trying to like buy and sell players to bounce up and down between the championship.
Well, and like, fraudulent revenue streams due to Russian oligarchs that's kind of hurt them too.
And they might have to sell. And obviously the reinvestment into the club changes dramatically if they're a championship side instead of a premier side. So this is like I don't want to be over dramatic, but they're staring on the cliff of a death spiral here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is like a Portsmouth type situation, I think, in the waiting if they do go down. And the other thing we didn't mention is there's the stadium deal that probably hinges on them staying up as well. So like this is like they're every single aspect of this is massive for Everton to stay up. Yeah. Like absolutely huge.
So when we talk about stakes and games, like, yes, you know, making the Champions League versus not making the Champions League has a material impact on your club. Winning the title versus not winning a title, big impact on the fan base and the club. But it's not actual life and death. And like they might be playing for the entire Shield on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because as you said, like we've seen teams death spiral in the past and they looked a lot like Everton look right now. So I think that home crowd is going to turn up in a massive way. As you said, Bournemouth isn't a very good squad. They have no motivation whatsoever. Everton's playing for their absolute lives. And so I think they're going to cover, but they'll win on the money line. I didn't even give the adjusted. But overall, like, I don't think I'm playing any lines this week because who the hell knows what's going to happen outside of these relegation games. And so I'm going to play a lot of my props this week. And I'm giving this kind of like universal stat because it's going to govern a lot of my picks. The final game of the year when people don't have as much to play for. It's just like often wide open, wild ass games.
Yeah.
And with a lot of goals. So I looked at the last game last year. There were 18 teams that scored last year out of the 20, and 9 out of the 10 games went over 2.5. And so this other thing that happens, and we learned this at the World Cup, right, Brett, is there's some scoreboard watching as the clock's ticking, and then you have to change your style as the other games, you know, you hear the score of the other games. And so second halves, I am huge on this week. Second halves over specifically, or second half being higher scoring than the first half. That hit 7 out of 10 times last week because people have to really go full throated for it. And that's what I'm playing here in the Everton game. Highest scoring half second. If they have to start chasing or whatever they have to do in order to stay up, that's only -110, which I think is really good value.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where my head was at too. Just that you hit it right in the head. There seems to be a very like a pickup soccer aspect of these matches, especially when there's no one that really cares. And most of these matches are literally being played for absolutely nothing. So I love that idea. It's an interesting stat that you threw out there from last year as well. And for me, the prop that looked the best is without Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who looks like he's a huge doubt for this game, which also is probably not great for Everton covering spreads or maybe even the money line. Is Dwight McNeil, Burnley legend, reunited with Sean Dice, is going to be gunning, Toby. There are going to be some 35-yard rockets because he's made a couple on the way in. His two shots on goal number is +200. And you better believe that without Calvert-Lewin in there, Dwight's going to be gunning. He is going to be the J.R. Smith of soccer players. Andre Schürrle is going to be like, why didn't I do that? He may take like 7 shots. They all might be from a step inside the halfway line. And he just needs to put 2 of them inside the goal frame. That's all.
I'm going to miss you this summer. Dwight McNeil, 2 shots on target. That is brilliant. I will co-sign that.
It's literally the only thing that I could look at. And it's honestly, with the way that he's been playing and with his absolute disregard for where he is on the pitch before he shoots, it's one of my favorite bets of the week.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, for craps and giggles, I will get behind that one. But holy hell, I cannot say I was looking up Dwight McNeil props as I was picking my lines. All right. Let's move to the second of the 3 games in the relegation battle that really matters. And this one is Leicester City, 18th at 31 points versus West Ham, 14th at 40 points. Leicester -109, West Ham +260. The draw is +280. West Ham plus half a goal is -120 as well. So Leicester has to win. They cannot play for a draw. That's why I gave out that West Ham line. Leicester absolutely has to go after this game. They are at home. If they win, then Everton has to win. If Leicester wins and Everton doesn't win, then Leicester stays up and Everton goes down. So they're really going after this game. I also think they suck. I think they suck hard. And I could see them bottling this because I don't believe in their crowd and I don't believe in them as much as Everton. And I think, like, you know, when aliens look back 100 years from now and see that Leicester title and then see them in the third division for 50 of the 100 years after that, it's going to be the most confusing thing to happen in the history of sports. So I'm taking West Ham on the, you know, with the half goal. So on the double chance, -120. And it's just a bet against Leicester. I don't think they're going to have the magic in their boots to capture this and stay up and send Everton down.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I'll say about this is I probably seem to mention it almost every week is our friend of the pod, Ryan O'Hanlon, wrote another excellent piece on ESPN about the goalkeeping issues. I was amused a little bit on that one. I'm going to take some partial credit. The goalkeeping issues that are facing the teams that may get relegated. And you and I have talked a lot about post shot expected goals. We've explained this basically like where the ball ends up on target and then how often a goalkeeper should essentially save that shot. And Leicester's goalkeeping has been horrible. The same thing with like Wilfred Ndidi falling off the face of the earth is he used to be the guy that I think everybody wanted to get as their 6th. And now he, like, you watch the game and you're like, oh, Ndidi just got subbed off. He was playing this whole time. There's some stuff going on with Leicester that I think is mostly just bad luck. There is some attacking talent. I'm not a huge Harvey Barnes guy, but he's okay. I don't know where James Maddison fits in the hierarchy of good soccer players in terms of being on a winning club, but he can do some stuff for you. Vardy's been getting some shots again, trying to turn back the clock here. And Iheanacho, the Kelechi Iheanacho, who it's kind of like the stat nerd's like one of favorite players because he always posts like amazing underlying numbers, but he's never healthy and never fit. But Leicester has actually had a positive goal differential, Toby, with Iheanacho on the pitch, which is just shocking. I had to look at it four times to make sure I was looking at the right number. Yeah. So, I mean, with Leicester, I think they have the talent to do it. I think there's been some luck circumstances, but they've also like had matches like they should have put Everton away and they didn't. And like Dean Smith had them playing so conservatively in some of these matches as well, too. Like they just blew some matches that I just don't think they should have. I hate doing this because it's getting into people's mentals and we're not there. We're not in the locker rooms, but there does seem to be a weird spirit thing about them. And so my head is going to force me to take the money line because I'm like, they have attacking talent. They can win. But like my gut hears me say that out loud. And they're like, dude, have you watched that team play? They look like they have no soul. But I'm going with my head. My gut has led me in some very poor directions, both on this podcast and other facets of my life. So I'm going to go with my head. I'm going to take the money line. And I'm also going to stick in the same Dwight McNeil vein. Because when you talk about gunners, James Maddison is a gunner. I don't know who your favorite all-time NBA gunner was, but James Maddison would probably rival that guy in a relegation match as probably Leicester's best attacker against the West Ham team that is going to set up shop and defend deep under the David Moyes specialty. He will be bombing away. His line is not as juicy as Dwight McNeil's because it's Dwight McNeil. So you're going to get a little bit of more juice on that. But for his line, he was -110 for 2+ shots on target. I just think these teams are desperate. These guys are going to be shooting from everywhere and anywhere when they get a window. And James Maddison is one of the biggest gunners in the Premier League. So give me these shots on target. Let's go. Rip them, boys.
This is fun. We're both playing patterns. I am taking highest scoring half second at +105 in this game because I think that the first half could very well be scoreless. And if the first half is scoreless and you just need a goal in the second half and they're scoreboard watching and they really have a chance to go after it, like I think one or two is almost a given. So if you want to look at highest scoring half second half overs, will Leicester score in the second half? Any number that's, in the -130 to like +150 range, I think are all great values.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and just this is going to be different than any game in the season leading up to it in the sense that like if this was in October, Dean Smith would maybe near the end of it be fine. It's 1-1. We're just going to play for the draw, take the point, move on to the next week. He is going to just throw everybody. He's going to take fans in the stands, be like, can you play striker? You're on the pitch. Still at you. You're off. So it's going to lead to a goal either for them or West Ham is going to have like 4-on-1 counters, and Daniel Iverson's going to be in their way.
Well, so what you just said is exactly the scenario I see in our final relegation battle, which is Leeds United 19th at 31 points versus Tottenham 8th at 57 points. This game is Sunday at 11:30 a.m. Tottenham is +135. Leeds is +175. The draw is +265. Spurs -0.5 is +135. Leeds is -175. So Leeds needs to win and needs Everton to either lose or draw. And then Leeds needs to make up a 3-goal differential. So Leeds has all the excitement in the world to play for here in going after goals. And they have none of the ability to actually execute this plan.
Nor the manager.
and they don't have the manager. And the Spurs are one of the great counterattacking sides there is in the Premier League. So I see a ton of goals. I see absolute end-to-end madness in this matchup. It's probably going to be the most entertaining game of the 10. Like if you only got one TV, this is probably the one I would put it on if you want just pure uncut adrenaline. And I'm going to back Leeds because it's our last show of the year. So why not fade Spurs one more time? I guess it is fair to note that the Spurs technically do have one thing to play for. Like they can get in the Conference League if they
win. Harry Kane is stoked about that.
Right. Exactly. So I say win, I guess I should be using air quotes. Like is making the Conference League a win or a loss? Like you would actually probably rather have the time off midweek if you actually want to get back into the Champions League mix next year. So I'm going to take Leeds because I think it almost hurts Spurs to win. But my favorite bet, Brett, I'm just going to get it out of the way now. High scoring half second is minus 115. But the one I love is both score, no draw, plus 114. Because this game could have 7, 8, 9 goals in it. And the chance it has that many goals and it just ends 4-4 or 3-3, I think are extremely low. So you get a plus number that they're both going to score and it's not going to be a tie is probably my favorite bet of the entire week.
Yeah, I mean, this one was tricky for me because I just have no idea how Allardyce is going to set up. Like, is he going to just try to keep the game close and then nick it at the end? Is he going to actually, like, put his foot on the gas from the start? I don't know. I think it's one of those things we're going to probably have to see the starting 11 before you do this. But the one thing I will say, and I know I'm in a way I'm contradicting myself in the Leicester thing, but this team, more confidently, I can say that Harry Kane's F's given, no bleeps, Mike, there you go, is barren. His field of F's is barren. I just don't think this team cares. I think this team is broken. I think Kane probably knows that he is in for a summer of a transfer fight. We don't know the future of Son. This is going to be a rebuild. Daniel Levy has even talked about kind of reconfiguring his front office, bringing in analytics directors and being more like the Brighton Brentford models here. So this team is in the midst of a big shakeup. And I don't think, as you mentioned, Europa Conference League is going to be a big motivating factor. So I think if this was an away match, I would be more inclined to probably say Spurs are going to take advantage just around the raw talent. But the desperation leads, the fact that it's at home, you know, there are some good attackers. Like we kind of forgot that Patrick Bamford had a really great season the first time that they came up under Bielsa. He has been a shell of himself because of some injuries. Rodrigo has been really good for them. They have good young attacking talent. Jack Harrison, Nanto, all those guys. So I think they can put up some goals. I don't know how many. I think getting to 3 is going to be tough for them. But I did take them on the money line. And the one bet that stood up, and I know you're going to laugh at me because I have never hit on one of these, but the 2-1 exact score line is plus 1,000. And my heart says, there's no way if they are going to win that this match will get to 3 goals against Spurs. I just don't see this Leeds team being able to get to 3, at least having it be a big part of their range. And we know they're going to give up a goal because Tyler Adams still isn't playing and they have nobody to stop the opponent from doing anything. So that score line just felt like if this is going to be a Leeds win, I'm going to money line Leeds and I believe that Spurs are toast. This is the scoreline that probably gets it done. It's the biggest range and it's 10-1. So I think it looked intriguing to me.
Call me when no one's listening and I'll book it for you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Well, that is the relegation fight and those are the games that matter. So we're going to take a break. We're going to give Caesars a little bit of love. And then we are going to come back with a glorified NFL preseason slate.
Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. You must be 21 and older and physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. No one stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem, Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, DC, Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPENY.
All right, here we go. Let's pick at random here because none of these games are going to mean anything for the final standings of material value. Let's just start with Brentford, ninth at 56 points versus Manchester City, first at 89 points. Manchester City is minus 121. Brentford is plus 290. The draw is plus 285. Manchester City minus half a goal is minus 125. Brentford is minus 105. I reflexively, I just have to take Manchester City, right? Like the rotation is going to be really interesting because they really didn't have anything to play for last weekend, and they still started Haaland. Haaland, I think, is tied with Henry for like assists plus goals in the season. So is he going to insist on trying to score in the first 20 minutes before he's subbed out? Or are they really going to sit him out before the FA Cup and the Champions League to make sure that they have the best shot they can at the treble? I don't know. But as we've talked about over and over again, like they have so much talent available to them, unless they even go like full youth, like just give eight guys their debuts who are 17 years old. I think at best they'll be like even with Brentford in terms of talent. They'll probably still be ahead. And you're getting one of the greatest teams we've ever seen and only having to pay minus 120 against a Brentford team that also has no motivation. So just give me City.
Yeah, this one was tough for me. I just don't know how Pep's going to handle it. You know, they have one leg of the treble wrapped up. They got the Premier League title. FA Cup's coming up, and down the road, we have the Champions League final. I mean, they started like Rodri, Stones, and Rico Lewis along with Kyle Walker as like a back four in the last match. So, I mean, there's clearly going to be some rotation. I think without seeing the starting 11, I just kind of lead towards Brentford at that half a goal with minus 105, like giving them the draw. Maybe they eke out a win. I just don't know City's motivation here. Like, we've never really like seen them have this much ahead of them before. Like, they have a historic treble ahead of them. So you'd like to think Pep would be like, this game means nothing. KDB is, you're done, you know, Erling, you're done. Right. But I don't know.
Like the point you're bringing up is just baked into this podcast for everybody listening. Like, we're recording this on Thursday night. Like it's because it's a podcast and because we have a release schedule that we have to do it right now. But like, we should be on the air live at 10:30 on Sunday morning after they release the lineups, because we have zero idea who the hell is going to be playing for any of these teams with the stakes that being non-existent.
Yeah,
so we're making big assumptions.
Yeah, and we basically need our Caesars account up on like a screenshot. And so when I see that like Calvin Phillips is starting at center back, that minus 0.5 for Brentford is going to be like my entire account on it. Yeah. So like, So, I mean, I kind of think Brentford, they're going to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder with the Ivan Toney thing. They have a chance to just have continue their impressive season. I think there's going to be some pride level for them. I mean, they're a small club that's got a chance to finish pretty high on the table, given their revenue streams and all that kind of stuff. And so the one bet that I thought looked interesting, if City's going to rejigger their back line like they kind of did in the last match, I always say his name wrong. I say it in Mbeumo. I think it's Mbeumo with like an R sound. But basically the only goal scorer left on Brighton or on Brentford, plus 320 anytime goal scorer. If he's running in against like Rico Lewis and Rodri playing center back or some academy kid, I like my chances that Brentford's going to nick a goal, and he's definitely the best bet to do it.
Yeah. I mean, like in these games, I'm just reverting to like my gut, and my gut is the same. It's fade Spurs and it's take City win, both score, and just take the lines that are associated with those two things. And Manchester, I didn't do Manchester United corner bet. But those are the things that just like, that's my like return to home. So I'm just doing it here. City win, both score, plus 230. I don't know. If I'm going to bet City to win, I'm not going to take them to get a clean sheet, since I have no idea who the hell is going to be in the lineup and it's not going to be their best 11. So of course I think Brentford's going to get one, and that's a great odds that, you know, City's ultimate talent of their entire program still wins out. Now you're getting plus 230 after they also give up that goal.
Yeah, we just need to have you be like on Twitch or something, so when you see Cole Palmer in that starting 11, we can watch you place that anytime goal scorer bet. That's what I really need. That's how my Sunday wants to be spent.
All right. Well, I don't know if the people that are playing in the next match want to be there at all. That's not how they want to spend their Sunday, but I guess they collect their wages, so they're going to show up anyway. Manchester United, third, 72 points versus Fulham, 10th at 52 points. United is minus 195, Fulham is plus 480, the draw is plus 340. United minus a goal and a half is plus 130, Fulham is minus 170. So congrats to United. Let's give them a little bit of flowers here. Job done. They're back in the Champions League, where they're historically have been very successful. Ten Hag has led them back from the abyss of the last few years of Europa. Congrats. That's awesome. And now they're going to start using their purse strings a little bit more to bring in players. Hopefully they get rid of the Glazers. And I think, you know, the next 10 years are certainly going to be better than the last 10 years or whenever it's been since first.
That's a real low bar though.
Yeah.
For Manchester United dumpster fire. That's a very low bar.
Yeah. I mean, it's like,
and you know, I say that as an Everton supporter.
The Lakers had a few down years, but eventually they returned to what the Lakers should be. I think we'll see the United snap back same way. Yankees, Lakers, they all return to their historic level given the resources at their disposal. For this particular game, it's another shoulder shrug. Since United has absolutely nothing to play for, I think it'll just be a party at Old Trafford. They'll be celebrating. It's minus 170. It's not exciting. I'm not going to play it, but to get Fulham just to stay within a goal of a team that's has nothing to play for, as art can just be celebrating and can basically be looking forward to the time off before the summer tour starts. I'm taking Fulham here +1.5.
Yeah, I took the same bet, mostly just for the same reasons. I think Fulham, you know, anytime that someone goes up against United, it just always feels important. So I think this match will probably mean more to Fulham than them. You know, Alexander Mitrovic, pot favorite here, suffered a long suspension. So, you know, he's going to want to try to bag some goals here before the season ends. Might have a bonus in his contract or something that we don't know about. And I mean, Fulham's, you know, had this knack of playing some of these bigger teams pretty tough. So I took the +1.5 as well. And then I put my money on my guy, like Mitrovic, +140, anytime goal scorer. You know, in a match that means nothing, if he's shooting five times in matches that means something,
yep,
he's going to be shooting 10 times in matches that mean nothing. He might go play as a six and try to dribble through United's midfield and shoot.
Came back from a suspension, scored two goals against Crystal Palace last week. Yep. Takes penalties, which is always important when against a team that's probably playing Harry Maguire and Scott McTominay and Fred. Not an impossibility that there's a penalty in this matchup. I have the exact same prop. And as long as we're congratulating Manchester United, let's congratulate Fulham as well. Like, they basically have gone Freaky Friday on Everton. Like, Everton's turning into this team that's trying to defend itself on the very last team of the year. Historic, great ground, great fans. And Fulham is taking their place as, like, full safety, top half of the table, yeah, just cruising forward, no longer a yo-yo club. And they've kind of switched places in the hierarchy in the Premier League.
I mean, if we're giving shutouts, we got to give one out to the namesake of the pod, the ghost of Willian. Talk about a signing that I for sure definitely gave a ton of flack to. And he actually was like a really important player for them in terms of their rise to stay up. Like, I mean, that dude turned back the clock. So props to him. Shout outs to Willian. Thank you for, you know, coming up with that wonderful name of our, like, alternate name of our podcast.
Yep. All right, let's just get this out of the way. Chelsea 12th, 43 points. Newcastle 4th, 70 points. Newcastle's +145. Chelsea's +170. The draw is +250. Newcastle minus half a goal is +130. Chelsea is -170. This is a gift. It's a final chance to bet against a Frank Lampard-led team that could not give less of a crap. They've already packed their bags. They're done. Lampard's done. Everything is done. And somehow I'm getting a plus number. So give me Newcastle +145 all day.
Yeah. I had to disappoint you at least once. But because of the fact that I feel like this is Newcastle has had to put their foot on the gas to make sure they clinch the Champions League, I think we're going to see Trippier is going to be rested. I think we're going to see Bruno Guimarães rested. I think we're going to see Isaac, who had an injury knock, almost came off in the last game, rested. Callum Wilson is probably going to get rested. We're going to probably see a lot of Elliot Anderson, Matt Target, Anthony Gordon. It's going to probably make an appearance of this bowl cut blonde dye job. So I think with that said, I just couldn't differentiate the two teams because they're just going to be playing like they're scrubs. And the one thing I will say is some of the young guys on Chelsea, like, that United game was not a good result. But some of those young cats.
Oh, is that your professional opinion?
Yeah, that is my professional opinion. So please don't. I'm the expert here.
They gave up almost 6xG.
Yeah.
Is that good?
That's not good. It's not good. But I just was impressed with at least the young guys showed a little bit of fire out there. I mean, and I think Frank's going to probably roll it out. Like Lewis Hall, I actually thought he played pretty well. I thought there were some pretty good moments in there. So I think those guys will at least play hard enough to bring this match to level. So I just took the draw at plus 250. And then I took the draw with both the score at plus 333 because Chelsea under Frank Lampard is not going to have a clean sheet. That just is not happening. And if Newcastle's playing their scrubs and they're probably going to rotate Nick Pope out, who's one of the better shot stoppers in the Premier League, hard to see them not giving up a goal. So, and yes, I know you're going to bring up, you know how many times Chelsea scored in the last month? Well, they only need one for that bet to hit.
I can't tell you how hard you're triggering me. We've got to move on. They spent $1 billion, and you're telling me that Newcastle, a team that was in a relegation fight a year ago, is going to pay their entire backups, every backup they have, and it's a draw. It's a draw. After all of that expenditures, they are as good as the Newcastle backups who fought off relegation last year. Bravo, freaking oh, Chelsea. Give me the over 2.5 minus 140 because it's a Lampard-led team. Yes, they might get up one, but they're going to give up three. So the over 2.5, I thought I should have to pay twice that. That should be like minus 280. I think we're getting off real light at minus 140 here.
Yeah, I mean, that was actually one of the backup picks that I had. Anytime you can go over against a Frank Lampard team, always a great idea.
Always a great idea. Also a great idea not watching this match. all right, Arsenal, second at 81 points versus Wolves, 13th at 41 points. Arsenal's minus 275, Wolves is plus 675. The draw is plus 400. Arsenal minus a goal and a half is minus 105. Wolves is minus 120. Five, Brett. So Arsenal, they are playing at home. I hope their fans give them a warm reception, not any sort of cold shoulder for coming in second and kind of bottling it in the last month. But they have absolutely nothing to play for here. Locked into second. They should get clapped off even if they lose 4-0. I hope their fans honor the season that they had. And as such, I think they'll play backups. I don't see any reason they should really go after this match. And if I'm getting an adjusted line in the Wolves' black magic, I'm taking it at minus 125 to just stay within a goal in this game.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So super boring. And then I did go the Toby route here with the over of 2.5 goals because definitely think there's going to be some squad rotation, especially in the midfield. I just don't see a reason why some of the guys that they've been relying on, like Jorginho, Thomas Partey, who are either older or have had some injuries, are going to need to play. Same thing with Gabriel in the back four. I don't see why he needs to play. We could see like a Rob Holding reemergence again. We know what Rob Holding has been associated this season with Arsenal is giving up goals. So I think with that, the over 2.5 goals, Wolves are hardly a defensive stalwart. If this is a pickup soccer match, I kind of like there's going to be at least three.
Well, at least we do have just the slightest bit of conflict here because I am going on the other side of your over. I'm taking under on the 3.5, which is minus 150. And it's a kind of a shocking statistic. I looked it up twice because I couldn't believe it. Wolves games have gone under 3.5 goals 23 out of the last 26 games since the restart of the World Cup. They are not ever involved in anything remotely exciting, which actually fits their personality, so it shouldn't be that shocking. So if I don't think Arsenal has any motivation to go for the jugular here, and Wolves don't ever get in high-scoring bangers of matches, minus 150 on the under 3.5 seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, 2-1, one way or the other definitely seems like a pretty good range for this game, so I like that. Yep.
All right, one more to get through, and then we can take a break to the FA Cup final and send people on their way a little bit early this week, just like this season ended a little bit early for all of us who care about results and care about drama. The last one is my official shoulder shrug game. I have no idea, nor do I really care at all. Southampton, already relegated, 20th at 24 points versus Liverpool, 5th at 66 points. Liverpool is minus 270, Southampton is plus 650. The draw is plus 410. Liverpool minus a goal and a half, minus 110. Southampton minus 120. Who freaking knows? Liverpool minus the goal and a half, minus 110. That's my full analysis.
Yeah, the only thing that went through my head is like Liverpool is clearly better. And even their B team can, you know, probably take it to Southampton a little bit. But I kind of feel like, you know, Southampton's going to want to send their fans off like with a good match, right? I think there is a little bit of a motivation of, they're professionals. They got relegated. This is their last chance to play in front of their fans in the Premier League. It's a big opponent. So I couldn't get to them winning. I didn't think the line with the spreads were that great. The draw, one out of every four times this match, just seemed like way more likely than I mean, they're way better pricing than I would have thought. Like 4-1 for this nothing burger of a match to end tied seemed about right, especially if Liverpool is going to rest a bunch of their main stars, like Salah's not playing, Konate's not playing, Alexander-Arnold's not playing, things like that. But one of my favorite bets that I kind of combed through, I was looking for something that looked appealing, was the Southampton come from behind and draw was +550. And I definitely could see Liverpool maybe starting like a Jota, Nunez, Salah thing. They get a goal and then Southampton just wants to send off their fans on a good note and they push for that equalizer. I could see that happening at 5-1, 5.5-1. You're getting pretty good odds for it. And Liverpool matches, as we know, are all over the place for the most part. So anything can kind of happen.
So you left out the attacker that I'm betting on, and I think they're going to play him because it's his last ever Liverpool match. The legend, Bobby Firmino.
Oh, Bobby, yeah.
Bobby Firmino, he's already announced he's leaving Liverpool at the end of the year. He scored a crucial goal for them at home last week, which was a great story. But I think he's going to be the guy trying the hardest on the pitch to go out in a big way. And his anytime goal scorer number is -120. So there's not a lot of people playing for anything in this game except for him. So he's the only guy I can back, because otherwise I have no idea who's going to give a crap about anything in this match.
Smiling Bobby with the goal. I like it.
All right. Well, I know that wasn't the greatest content that we've ever done. I kind of feel like the newscaster that's on when the meteor is heading towards the earth and he just doesn't give a damn anymore. And he's drinking whiskey and, you know, swearing on TV and saying all sorts of horrible things. That's kind of how I felt for the last 20 minutes. So I apologize about that. But let's take a break. And we do have one game that we could talk about that has pretty substantial stakes. The FA Cup final. We'll do that right after this. Okay, one last matchup for the week in the FA Cup final. This is going to be June 3rd at 10 a.m. City is -220. United is +525. The draw is +360. Now, remember that this is a knockout tournament final, so there is a draw because at the end of 90 minutes, those are the lines I just gave you. If it does go into extra time or penalty kicks, there is a line for who will lift the trophy. City is -400. United is +275. There is an adjusted line published, which is City minus a goal and a half is +130. United is -160. So because we're so far out from this match, Brett, there isn't as many lines posted as there normally would be. I do have one prop that I'll throw out there. But overall in the match, like I think it's just faded in the stars. Like, I know we're going to come back. We have one final show this year where we'll do a Champions League preview. But I think City's winning the treble. Something can happen between now and the Champions League final that changes my mind. Obviously, the odds can shift, and then maybe Inter becomes the value bet on an adjusted spread. I mean, we'll talk about that when we get into our preview. But I think they're winning. And once you say that they're going to win, I'm just hunting for value. And so a trophy lift at -400 doesn't really do it for me whatsoever. Having them win in regulation at -220, yeah, absolutely. But this is a freaking juggernaut. Like, they are one of the great teams we've ever seen. And to get a plus number that they stamped this season by putting United into the ground at least two goals, and I'm getting +130 all day, all day. I, like, after staring at eight games of nonsense and games without stakes, it was a breath of fresh air to pull up the FA Cup, see one that matters, and see a plus number that completely aligns with the motivation of the team. So I think they are going to really, really take it to United at Wembley. I think they're going to win 2-3 or 4-0. You can't same game parlay those quite yet, but I'd be looking at those once it comes out. And I'm happy to get the plus number this far out for just them winning by two goals.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been on the record kind of, you know, pointing out that this United team was not a very strong team. And they kind of took advantage of, I think, of some collapses, obviously, from the other big six clubs, a weird schedule, getting knocked out of Europa early. You know, a lot of things went in their favor for their league finish in terms of the Champions League. And I just think that City, you know, once Pep worked his magic, once John Stones became part of a double pivot, and it just, they have just been absolutely obliterating teams. I mean, we saw what they did in the second leg at home against Real Madrid, and Real Madrid is in a different class than Manchester United is. So seeing that plus number, even though it was -1.5, I would jump all over that as well. And I also think that because of the fact that City has not avoided a midweek game in probably like 2 months, and they're going to basically have, what is it going to be, an exhibition match, which doesn't matter, this weekend, and then a little time off before they play this FA Cup final, I think they're going to come out early and punch them in the mouth. So yes, the line for a goal in the first to 15 minute was +175. And I love that, because I really do think that this is going to be a battered and bruised early and often type of match. And City is going to be rested. They're going to finally have a chance to probably like actually have some training where everybody's participating. And so the machine that we've been seeing is going to be humming even at full tilt. And then Manchester United is going to be the one that walks into that buzzsaw. It's going to be hard pressed to believe that there's not going to be a bunch of really great chances in the first 15, 20 minutes. Yeah. So +175, I just jumped all over that one.
And United's season's a success. I mean, they made an FA Cup final and they qualified for the Champions League. So yeah, we already gave them their flowers earlier. Like, this is a success either way, but City's going after, you know, a treble. Like, hasn't happened in what, 24 years, and they're not going to, well, they might win the treble next year. They might win the treble for the next 10 years, but you can't take anything for granted, and being just two games away, I think they're taking it to both games, and I think they're just going to go down as an absolutely legendary team. And as such, my prop, Manchester City win and over 2.5 goals, is +105.
I saw so that one too. I like that a lot. Yeah,
another way to get a plus number on a City win and a dominant performance. Maybe it's 2-1, maybe it's 3-1, maybe it's 3-0. Like, there's a ton of range of outcomes that can cover this line, but all of them have City in the win, and then you get correlated. And as I said, once they post more props as we get closer to the third, I'm going to be looking at same game parlays all over the place about City win to nil, at least 2-0, City win to nil, at least 3-0, and see what those lines are. Because City winning to nil right now is +160, and their -1.5 is +130. Of course, you take a discount on the same game parlay, but I think a 2-0 win is going to be +250 or higher, and I'm going to be all over it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's literally nothing about that logic that I can even poke at.
All right. Okay, guys, so we got through 9 games in less time it usually takes us to talk about 5, so you're welcome for that. Let's do the 5-pint and wrap this up. I am up 2.8 pints on the month, and Brett, I am up 5.2 on the year. I thought really long and hard about taking like City like +8.5, just guaranteeing myself my 5 pints back and daring you to beat me on such a wild week.
But I decided don't dare me, Toby. Don't throw down the gauntlet, because I have something special for you today, buddy.
Well, I decided to go the Ted Williams route and not lay me down my bat to preserve the 400. I'm going to try integrity. To back 406 instead.
That is a word you associate with this podcast, is integrity.
if you say so. all right. So I did my best I can to just bet the games that actually have stakes, because those are the ones I feel like I could actually understand. So it's a lot of relegation stuff, and it's all props. Leicester City, West Ham, highest scoring half, second, +105. Everton, Bournemouth, highest scoring half, second, -110. Leeds, Spurs, both score, no draw, +114. And then this one also just felt like a layup, even though there's no stakes, but Frank Lampard's involved, so I'm going over here. Newcastle, Chelsea, over 2.5 goals, -140. And then finally, that FA Cup final, City -1.5 at +130.
Yeah. I mean, I have one FA Cup bet, and it's the one that I love, goal in between the first and the 15th bet at +175. I got one pint on that. And then here it comes, Toby. It's all about the Gunners. It's all about the Gunners. I'm going to throw one pint down at Dwight McNeil +200. I'm going to throw one pint down on James Maddison -110, both for 2 shots on target. And if you're counting, Toby, that's 3 total pints. Mm-hmm. And in my next bet, it is going to be a parlay of James Maddison, 2 shots on target, with Dwight McNeil, 2 shots on target, for a nice juicy plus 472 number, and there's going to be 2 points on that, Toby.
Oh, my God.
Don't call it a comeback. Don't call it a comeback. Here we go. It's all about guys shooting from 30 yards out. That's all I need. End me with that. I'm like the Elmo meme with the fire behind me. Bring it on.
Okay. That was something. I kind of wish I had the last 30 seconds of my life back so I could erase that from happening. So I didn't see my partner self Emily in the five pint and just completely go up in flames when you're barely profitable for the year. And this is going to move you into minus territory if you're wrong. So
I believe it's Dwight McNeil. McNeil Madison 2024. Yeah,
I think is there going to be YouTube videos of like Chicago Park doing I believe for Dwight McNeil instead of USA? Is that what you think is going to happen?
I'm just going to be that guy that's in the basement of Landon Donovan one that slides down the stairs. That's going to be me. But yeah. not even on him scoring, just on him like literally getting the shot on target.
This is your fault, Chelsea. This is your fault. Because if they had held off United today, we would have had more games with stakes and you wouldn't be so flipping insane to bet what you just bid. So chalk it up to another casualty of the Chelsea season. All right. Well, thank you guys. This was a fun episode of talking about what should have been the best day of soccer in the year, but is going to turn into a wild scramble to stay up and then, some fun action between Leeds and Tottenham. But yeah, I'll still be watching obviously because it is super fun, right? 10 games going on at once, split screens everywhere, especially in the relegation, you know, massive stakes and one goal changes the odds for everybody so dramatically. It's very much like the World Cup third round of the round robin. That was my favorite soccer experience of this year and of the last several years. So I'm still going to be tuning in. It's still going to be super fun. I wish there was more on the line. We are taking off next week. Enjoy the FA Cup final, but we will be back for one last show before we shut down for the summer ahead of the Inter Milan Manchester City Champions League final on, I believe that's June 10th.
Yep.
So enjoy the final game of the year, guys. Thank you for staying with us. And we will be back in 2 weeks with our usual interchange of horrible advice backed by expert analysis. Take care, everyone.
Go Dwight McNeil.